This is the Ingles Information Aisle with Leah McGrath, helping you eat healthy, feel great, and understand your nutrition. Now, here's your host, Ingles dietitian Leah McGrath.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome to the Ingles Information Aisle. This is Leah, your Ingles dietitian. And yes, I am the voice you hear when you're walking around the Ingles store. If you ever want to get in touch with me, if you have food or nutrition questions, just go to our website, ingles-markets.com. Make sure you put it in as markets, plural. Click on dietitian, and there should be a block that comes up there where it says you can ask me a question. You can also call me, 800-334-4936. You can tweet me, Ingles Dietitian on Twitter. You can also find me on Facebook. I'm Leah McGrath, dietitian on Facebook. So if you have a food or nutrition question, those are all sorts of ways that you can reach out and ask me, and I'll try and get back to you as quickly as possible. It kind of depends sometimes on whether I'm in the office, whether I'm traveling, whether I'm doing something else. So don't think I'm ignoring you. Sometimes people will email me and call me. That's perfectly fine. And sometimes they'll email me, call me, and tweet me, and that's perfectly fine too. So I thought it'd be interesting to bring in the studio today a dietetic intern. Now, we've had lots of registered dietitians in to talk about why they became dietitians and what they're currently doing. And if you ever want to kind of get a glimpse at some of these dietitians that we've had on the show previously, go to our website, ingles-markets.com, click on dietitian, and you'll see another tab for podcasts. And for those of you who are regular listeners to the show, I mean, we've had everybody on from Cheryl Forberg, who's a registered dietitian and also a chef, and she works on for NBC's The Biggest Loser. We've had Leslie Bonsi on. She's the dietitian for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We had Dave Grotto on. We call him, his nickname is the Dietitian. He has written books. We've had all sorts of different dietitians on the show. We've had the Nutrition Twins on the show. We've had the Meal Makeover Moms on the show. All sorts of dietitians that can give you a glimpse of the different career paths of dietitians. And today we're taking a little step back so you can get to meet a dietetic intern. And that's Victoria Catalano. And Victoria has been nice enough to stop by the studio today. And she's going to spend some time with me today and tomorrow to talk a little bit about what she's doing as a dietetic intern and, you know, why she got into the field of nutrition and what interested her about becoming a registered dietitian. So this is her first time on the radio and she's going to do great. I know it. So welcome, Victoria.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. She's fearless. She's like, yeah, sure, my first time on the radio, no problem. So this is also a first for you living in Asheville, Western North Carolina, right?
That's correct. I just moved here a little under 2 months ago from Jacksonville, Florida.
What do you think of Asheville area?
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It really is just very unique in so many ways, and I'm enjoying my experience here.
So are you originally from Jacksonville, too, or is that where your home was?
No, I am originally from Sarasota, Florida.
Okay.
Born and raised, and I moved to Jacksonville for college.
Okay. And where did you go to school?
I went to the University of North Florida to take their dietetics program.
So did you start out from the get-go as a dietetics or nutrition major?
No, and okay. It's funny because from what I understand, not a lot of people start out in this path.
Right.
I actually started my college career at University of Central Florida in Orlando as a micro and molecular biology student.
Ooh, I love that.
Yes, it was very, very fun sounding. We used to call it M&M.
Real science, though. I love that. Good for you. Yeah.
And I wanted to become a doctor originally.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the course of taking, you know, these really hard science classes, I loved them. But there was just something kind of missing for me. And along the way, I found that, oh, I could be a dietitian. Oh, this sounds cool. I like food and I want to help people. So this might be perfect. Mm-hmm. And so I made the switch and transferred up to University of North Florida and kind of never looked back.
So what happened when you went to your parents and said, hey, guess what? You know, that whole idea I had of being a physician, I'm going to be a dietitian. What did they say?
Are you sure you don't want to join the military?
See, I did both. I was a dietitian in the military. So they were a little skeptical or a little...
A little skeptical. I'd been saying my whole life or very short amount of time, really, in comparison, that I wanted to be a doctor.
Right.
And I was wonderful in sciences in school, in high school.
That's great.
And everyone kind of just expected that that would be the way I went. And I just said, nope, not for me. This is where my heart is. I think I can do more this way.
And a lot of people don't realize how science intensive the undergraduate or master's program for dietitians is. I mean, I don't know about you, but I took anatomy and physiology, biochemistry, organic chemistry.
Absolutely.
What are some of the other ones that you took that were part of your major to be the dietetics major?
Well, you know, the bioorganic chemistry courses mm-hmm. were very intensive, but also with the new research coming out, we focused a lot on what we're calling nutritional genomics, which is basically the science of how the nutrients in our food interact with our genes.
Exciting.
And can help with gene expression.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a new thing that we are discovering and we're learning about in schools now, and it's very science intensive.
Yes. I think a lot of people really don't realize all that, you know, they think they have maybe an idea of their head that a dietitian is no different than a home economist, like somebody who knows how to make a meal on a budget or, you know, create a healthy dish, and they don't realize all the science that we had to take that goes into becoming a registered dietitian is very much a science-oriented field.
Very much, and I kind of like to think of it as a combination of two schools. You have your food science people, and that's more your home economist. You know, you can modify recipes, and you do a lot as far as in the kitchen. But you also have your human scientists. You have to understand how what you're putting in your body is going to affect your body on the molecular level.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to combine those two areas together to really be effective in nutritional science.
Ah, very well put. So now you are at Lenora Ryan University here in Asheville, right?
I am. They have a graduate studies office here in Asheville, and I had the opportunity to do my internship here, which
Excellent.
Is wonderful.
Excellent. So if you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Victoria Catalano, almost got it right, and she's a dietetic intern at Lenora Ryan University, and she's going to give us a little bit of a behind-the-scenes look at what it takes to be a dietetic intern and what are some of the things that she does that are going to put her in the right place to become a registered dietitian. Stay tuned to the Ingalls Information Aisle. Welcome back to the Ingalls Information Aisle. This is Leah, your Ingalls dietitian. Today in the studio with me, I have Victoria Catalano, and Victoria is a dietetic intern. She's what we call an RD2B. That's what I use on Twitter all the time. RD, the number 2BE. So she is in her dietetic internship at Lenora Ryan University. They have an office here in Asheville. And she's going to tell us a little bit about what it takes to be a dietetic intern. And I might chime in with some of the things that I did as a dietetic intern when I was in the Army. So Victoria, we were talking before we came on the air that a lot of people don't realize how long it takes. What's the process to becoming a dietetic intern? So once you graduate from school, and sometimes there's programs that are a combined academic program and an internship, but in your case, you graduated and then you applied for an internship, right?
Right.
And it's still you apply for three different internships, right?
I actually applied to five different internships,
Okay.
and the process is called a matching process, and it's a computer-based program, a lot like they do for med schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I was matched to Lenora Ryan University here in Asheville, and it's a wonderful program and an opportunity, and you're right, it does take a long time to get here.
Yeah.
4 years of school, in my case, I took an extra 5 years of undergrad, and I will complete this internship within the year.
It's about 1,200 hours that you have to complete during the internship.
1,200 hours of supervised practice.
Yep.
So pretty much someone's watching me at all times, but I'm going through the motions.
And then once she gets done that 1,200 hours, she has to take a national board exam that takes, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 hours to take.
Something around that.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a long exam.
And then she has to pass that.
Yes, that's the goal.
That's the goal. And then and only then does she get to be a registered dietitian.
That's right.
So you're in the very beginning stages of your internship of
yes.
those 1,200 hours.
Yes, I've completed about 240 hours.
And that was with, you were saying, an administration rotation.
Yes, administrative food service rotation, and I was at Black Mountain Neuromedical Treatment Center for that rotation.
And tell me some of the other types of rotations that you'll be doing during these 1,200 hours.
Well, now I'm beginning my community rotation, and that's going to entail really kind of a hodgepodge of different things. It could be working at clinics, health departments. It could be working with different nonprofits, and that really is just to see what's going on in the community and community services related to nutrition. And once I'm finished with that, I will move on to my clinical rotations, which are going to be at your inpatient hospitals and more of what you would expect to see of a dietitian in a hospital going to patients and taking care of their diet needs.
And is there one more besides that? One more?
I will have an opportunity to do 2 weeks of enrichment, which is going to be self-directed and in an area of my choosing.
Okay, cool. So is there one that you're really looking forward to, or one that you're anxious about? Is there one that you're more anxious about, or one that you're really looking forward to?
I'm really looking forward to the clinical rotations because I do love the hard science and the nutritional science aspect of it. But I actually was very nervous going into my first rotation, my administrative. And not only was it my first rotation, but I felt that food service was one of my weaker areas in terms of the field of dietetics. But going through the 6 weeks, I came out on the other end so much stronger. Menu writing was a really hard thing for me, and I gained a lot of skills. So really being anxious about it, it wasn't that big of a concern in the end.
Great. So, you know, a lot of times people ask me, gosh, what's the difference between a registered dietitian and a nutritionist? And if you've been sitting here listening, you've heard one of the big differences. A lot of registered dietitians can call themselves nutritionists, but if you're a nutritionist, you can't call yourself a registered dietitian unless you've been through a program like Victoria just described, where you have a college degree, whether it's actually moving all towards master's now, but you have a college degree, you've completed those hours of internship, 1,200 hours in the case of Lenore Ryan, and you've passed your annual board nationally administered board exam. And beyond that, once Victoria does have her RD, when she becomes a registered dietitian or registered dietitian slash nutritionist, she's going to have to keep up continuing education on an annual basis. So she's going to have to keep that education coming in so that she keeps learning for the rest of her career as a registered dietitian. And that might involve going to conferences. That might involve doing special reading, doing presentations. All those things are aimed just to keep her skills up to par. So do you get that question a lot about, like, well, what's the difference between you and just a nutritionist?
I don't get the question as much as I am referred to as a nutritionist a lot. And I don't have a problem with that term. Some dietitians prefer to be called registered dietitians. Mm-hmm. I think a nutritionist makes a little bit more sense to the general community as far as what we do. And I do try to explain to people if they are unsure of what it is that I will do or what dietitians can do, that you have the security when you're working with a dietitian of knowing that they have the education, the experience, and the skills to help you with a variety of nutrition-related health needs.
And, you know, one other thing we want to mention, too, is in many states, not every state, but many states, in order to practice dietetics or nutrition in the state, you have to be licensed by the state. The state of North Carolina has that. Many other states in the United States have that as well. So if you are seeking information from a nutrition information, ask that question. Are you licensed by the state? Does the state have licensure? Because if you're a registered dietitian and you're practicing in the state, you will have licensure. So you want to make sure that whoever is giving you nutrition advice is a licensed professional, preferably a registered dietitian. If you want more information about how to become a registered dietitian, you can go to the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics website, which is eatright.com. nutritionmagazine.org, and you can find out about nutrition education programs, about internship programs all over the country. You can get more information about what it's like to be a dietitian, and you can also find a registered dietitian in your area. All you have to do is put in your zip code, and that will pull up a variety of different dietitians, you know, whether you're interested in somebody to help you with questions about cardiac rehab or weight loss. It's all there. Stay tuned to the Ingalls Information Aisle. You're listening to the Ingalls Information Aisle. If you have questions or comments, go to ingalls-markets.com and click on Ask Our Dietitian. Welcome back to the Ingalls Information Aisle. This is Leah, your Ingalls dietitian. Today in the studio, I have Victoria Catalano, and Victoria is a dietetic intern. She's an RD-to-be, that's what I call them, on Twitter. Are you on Twitter, Victoria?
I'm not on Twitter. I probably should be to keep up with all this nutrition and health stuff going around, but I'm not right now.
Ooh, we'll need to change. Are you on LinkedIn?
I am on LinkedIn.
Good for you. So just as a little aside, you can find me on Twitter as Ingalls Dietitian, but I also, a lot of times I'll encourage dietetic students and interns, nutrition students and dietetic students and interns to get on Twitter. It's a great way to kind of virtually shadow registered dietitians and see what some of us are doing in the public space and what kind of information is out there. Also, what sort of resonates with the consumer, like, you know, who's saying what about what nutrition topic. Being on LinkedIn, excellent. I think that's another thing I encourage a lot of dietetic interns and students as a good way to make professional connections on LinkedIn is really good. So, Victoria, one of the questions when I go out to different universities and talk to nutrition students, I ask them, what do they think the food fads are or food trends are these days? What do you think some of the food fads and trends are? Like, what do you hear? What do you think? See, what do you think? And we pick up a magazine or you know, look on the internet. What do you think?
There are so many right now. It's kind of hard to keep track of all of them. But some of the big ones, the paleo diet,
yep.
A lot of the CrossFit community has embraced the paleo diet.
Yep.
Juicing has continued to stick around as a big fad.
Yep.
There's also, you know, what I like to call the exclusion diets. No carb has kind of faded out a little bit.
Right.
But there are still people who say, I'm not going to eat white foods. I'm not going to eat brown foods.
Right.
I'm not going to eat processed foods.
Yes.
So that's another big kind of trend that's been going around. Mm-hmm. And generally speaking, they come in and they come out.
Yeah, that really, when you just... The last thing you said is perfectly describes a fad, something that comes in and sort of has a fairly short shelf life. It's very faddish, you know, and then it sort of disappears. And I think what you described with paleo, I think is got that trend or that fad component to it, you know, any kind of like fad diet, you know, if you will. And then trends are something that come in strong but have legs, and sometimes they just become incorporated into our eating habits. And I think some examples of what do you think some examples of trends are, maybe things that started off maybe slightly faddish but have now been incorporated and are more mainstream?
I think when we talk about whole unprocessed foods,
mm-hmm.
It seems like a no-brainer in some instances. Whole, unprocessed foods are going to be better for you mm-hmm. and have more nutrients. But the term has been used much more frequently. A lot of times it's included in with organic and local food. Mm-hmm. All of those things are trends that aren't necessarily a fad and that really do have staying power
mm-hmm.
as far as how we're going to talk about nutritional advice or making changes and how it is going to impact not only our health but our community.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that there's a lot of terms that are thrown around these days that years ago when people first started really when the USDA started having the certified organic program, which I think was, gosh, I want to say like 2002 or 2004. You know, before that, there was really no there were no rules about you could put organic on anything. And then the USDA organic seal came into play. Maybe it was even 2001. And so now organic has been really accepted in the mainstream. And when you see, you can find USDA certified organic anywhere. You know, you can find it at Target in their food section, or you can find it at Ingles, or you can find it online at Amazon. So organic used to be very niche, and now it's very much mainstream.
That's right.
The problem I see with organic is a lot of times it has what I call a health halo, that people attribute all these benefits to organic and not realizing that you know, all it is a certification program for agriculture. That's what it is.
That's right. And, you know, kind of back to that whole unprocessed food moniker, when you're looking at an organic product and you're looking at it in terms of health benefits, look at how it was made. Is it in a bag or a box? It's going to be a processed food. And just because that organic label is on there doesn't necessarily mean it is the healthiest choice. And it does have that health halo like you were talking about. And consumers can be misled sometimes, even with those wonderful certifications that the USDA puts on things.
Exactly. So, and that's a great point that, you know, you can have chips and soda that are organic. And
absolutely.
Candy that's organic. It doesn't mean that they're healthy foods, or, you know, it's people don't always understand that that component of it. And I would also say that I think you're right that there are certain words that are very much buzzwords, like the word processed, and has become so much of a negative, but in reality, almost everything we eat has been processed.
Right.
In some cases, we have to have it processed to be able to eat it. You can't just pick up wheat out of the field and, you know, it has to be processed to become flour,
right,
or bread.
Bread is processed. Slicing that bread is a process.
Right. So hopefully, as dietitians, we're helping to do a little bit of myth busting and really focus on, like Victoria pointed out early on, the science, the food science and the nutrition science behind the foods that we're eating and how we're preparing them so that we can get the most nutritional benefit out of the foods we're eating, and that we're not just responding to the whatever fad comes along, because that's not our job as registered dietitians. That won't be Victoria's job as a registered dietitian. So after you're headed to clinical rotation after this community one, right?
Correct.
Where will you do that?
I will be at Pardee Hospital in Hendersonville.
Yep, you'll be with my friend Lori Steenweich, right?
That's right.
That's right. Small world. So remember, if you want to find out more about becoming a registered dietitian, one of the best places to start is going to the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics website. That's eatright.org. They have a wealth of information there about internship programs across the country and about how you can connect with registered dietitians in your community. Victoria, thanks so much for joining us on the Ingles Information Aisle, and best wishes to you.
Thank you so much. We'll